What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Video Games Are Hard, episode 34. And, you know, I'm the Indie Percent History guy of Sunshine. Some of you may know this. And today, we got a very special guest on, someone featured in that video, from very, very old school years of Sunshine. We got none other than Theoradel. What's up, Theoradel?
Oh, hello, hello. Thanks for having me on, man.
No problem. It's great to have you.
Okay, so we were doing the pre-cast, all right? We were having our pre-conversation. I think it was the shortest pre-podcast conversation we've ever had because yeah. we don't want to tread on ground because we've never actually met each other. None of us have met each other. I don't know if Theoradel, who knows, even knows who I am. I'm Simon
Williams,
by the way.
Well, here's the thing. So he hasn't met you, but now you're meeting for the first time. But I actually met Theoradel in person at GDQ before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like one time in the, I think it was like the casual room or something. You were just there. I was like, oh, cool. What's up?
Yeah, I walked over to say hi because, yeah.
I think we were like doing, maybe we were doing a Sunshine race or something else. And you were just
somebody
like,
what's up? Yeah, somebody was doing some Sunshine stuff.
We were doing our like traditional, there's always like a Sunshine race at some point every GDQ ever since 2015 or something. Just a cool thing.
Did you look over at the Sunshine setups there? Did you play? Do you still play? What, like, where do we start with you? I don't even know.
The beginning.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could talk about how I got into it and then like more current stuff, but obviously it's, I get into all of that now or.
Well, you know what? We can just start with like how you became a gamer. We can start with the very, very start. And then we can bleed into how you got into speedrunning or how you even started became one of the first Sunshine runners.
Right.
And so we can just start off with, what's your first gaming memory? That's
whoa.
Hey, that's the question we start with everybody, and everybody takes a
that's a good
few
question.
Seconds. Uh-huh.
I'm gonna have to go with my sister playing Super Mario Brothers with her feet. Like handling the controller with her feet. Yeah, it was just, I don't know why. It was just like, because I have a bunch of older siblings. So like there were video games around from like as early as I can remember. And yeah, I think she beat a few levels with her toes.
So, with her toes?
Yes.
Yeah.
So she was like the first challenge runner ever, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd been able to record it back then. And yeah, it was pretty nice.
Could
but
she
yeah,
hold
that would
down
be
the
first.
Run button? Could she hold down the run button with her toe and jump? Is that a thing that can happen?
Yeah, huh? I think she could use two toes on like the right side of the controller. Yeah.
See, I was thinking she was going bare bones, like one toe on the right button and one toe on the jump, and
maybe
then just kind of trial and error.
Yeah, because you don't have to do anything crazy. In
the
early levels,
the game was too easy for her playing normally.
I don't know. I think because just like, so there's six kids total. It was like older brother and younger brother for her. So I think she just wanted to do something to like, because it was her, because I think like just playing the game, they were both better than her. So she's like, fuck this. I'm going to play with my feet.
I'm going to carve out my own niche and play with my feet.
Yeah, exactly.
And what year do you think that was?
Oh, like 1995, 96.
Wow.
Because we never had a.
I was born.
Yeah, I was pretty young. We never had a Super Nintendo, so we just went straight to NES, and then we got an N64 Christmas of 98. So yeah, we were rocking Mario Brothers, Zelda, all the NES games for a while.
So you sound like you're about my age. I've never beaten Super Mario Brothers.
Cool, really?
I don't think I have. Like
you played it though.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, I think my first gaming memory is actually playing Super Mario Brothers. But I don't remember ever beating it. I'm assuming you've beaten it.
Yeah, I beat all the first three. Mario 3 is actually probably my favorite NES game. But yeah, all those early Mario games, those are some classics for me for sure.
Yeah,
actually, I don't think I've beaten it either. I've definitely gotten somewhere in World 8 and just like gave up at some point. I was like, yeah, it's too hard.
I've won Mario 35 before. Does that count? I feel like that counts.
Well, that game doesn't exist anymore, so no.
Oh, yeah. No. They removed it. I can't believe they removed it. So that's like, what made you become a gamer then? Like, I genuinely know nothing Theodel, how do you introduce yourself to people?
Well, it depends on if I'm at GDQ or, you know, but
you just say good afternoon and walk away.
yeah, exactly.
Like, hello, no, gamers. I mean,
what's the small talk that you use?
how's the weather today? I don't know. I'm not very good at small talk, but no, I mean, I've just been playing games as long as I can. It's just always been, I just feel like I've always looked forward to the next, like, cool game coming out. You know what I mean? Like, pretty early on, it was Ocarina of Time. And then literally I was obsessed with Ocarina of Time for like 2 years. And then after that, I got a GameCube and Sunshine, and there's always been another game to just keep me playing. And eventually I was like, yeah, this is like, this is like my favorite thing to do pretty much.
So was your whole family into gaming, like your parents and everything?
Yeah, my dad was. My dad was into like Space Invaders and stuff.
So
like,
your dad?
Yeah, I have my dad's Space Invader story. Does your dad have a Space Invader story where he's just like, man, I got to the level where the aliens were right at the base and I won, you know?
He doesn't have a story. He's always looking for like the 25 games in one thing at Walmart. He loves buying those things with all the retro games on them. Yeah.
Oh, like the plug and play things.
Yeah. Some of them have a joystick. And
yeah, I had like a Namco one of those.
Whenever I think of those, I think of the Rare Collection now.
Ooh.
Well, there was the Rare Collection the other year or whatever.
But you're talking like GoldenEye, Banjo, all that stuff.
Well, like, wasn't it for a different system? I don't think it has any of the Nintendo stuff. Or maybe it did. I don't know.
I was talking, like, is that on a console or just like its
own
thing?
No, it's a disc. It's a disc.
Okay, I'm just talking like it's a little plastic box with a joystick.
Yeah.
You plug it in. It's got like Dig Dug, Pac-Man, all that stuff.
Like the Digit.
Yeah, like the
like the Digit.
Like the Digit.
Yeah, like exactly like the Digit.
Did you see these nuts? Yeah, you get the idea. Yeah.
Yeah, you get the idea.
Anyway, but you were like a trailblazer. You were into speedrunning before really anyone else was, in a way. Except for like the people on SDA.
No, yeah, there were definitely other people before me, but it was certainly felt like uncharted territory, and like I was doing it as like a solo hobby compared to now, where you know Twitch is totally different. But yeah, the game I actually started.
How did you find it in the first place? How did you find speedrunning?
So the first game I ever ran was GoldenEye. I was playing that with my brothers, and like there's each level has a target time, you unlock a cheat, so it kind of encourages you to speedrun a little bit. So I got into that on gamefacts.com, and then
I was for
a while.
You make any guides?
I did make a few guides, man. Just like little projects, like, well, Metroid Prime, probably I put the most work into that, but then like Mario Party 3. Yeah.
Okay, and I gotta reviewed ask, a few games. Which one of your game facts guides has the coolest ASCII art at the beginning of it?
Metroid Prime, probably, but I was terrible at that, man. It's not even hard, but I would look at like cool ASCIIs and be like, oh my god, I can't do that.
Because I'm goddamn basic.
So yeah. I did GoldenEye for a while, and then eventually I just got curious, like there's got to be another community, there's got to be another website for more games than just GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, which is what that had. And that's when I found SDA. Mm-hmm. I think just through internet searching, I'm not really sure. And yeah, at the time, and then like, so like in that time, we had gotten a GameCube.
What year would this be?
Finding SDA for the first time, like 2005, 2006.
Damn.
Nice. That's like when YouTube was made.
Yeah, it was probably before YouTube was a thing. Mm-hmm. It was definitely like we had dial-up internet at the time. So, but yeah, I got on SDA and there were probably like 5 people who posted in a thread that I made on the Sunshine forum. And like one post, and then after that, I just mostly. But there were a couple runs already on the site, fortunately for me, to spend all day downloading and watch too.
Right, you had to like to spend a whole day downloading it and then finally watch it.
For videos that long, like I think the 100% run probably took like 30 hours to download, so I just had to like leave it overnight and
sounds about right.
Do you remember how long the runs were, like themselves?
Doodan's was like, what, his was 5 hours, 10 minutes.
Yeah, Doodan. You were Doodan, Sid. You know Doodan.
I was Doodan, yes, I know.
you voiced him.
I did voice Doodan.
And then at the time, the 80% run, I don't know, like 145 or something.
Was that Dragorn?
I think so. Dragorn definitely had the Mario 64, or no. Yeah, the Mario 64 run at the time.
Yeah.
On the site, if I'm thinking of the right guy.
So Dragorn had the 64 on the site, but didn't some Japanese player actually have the record or something?
I think so. When I first found SDA, I took what was on there as like, this is the fastest thing that I know of, you know.
I think everyone does at first, like back in the day.
Yeah. Because YouTube, again, wasn't a thing yet, like at all. I remember going to some random site eventually and finding a run that was like faster than mine and being like, holy shit, like nobody knew about this person or that I knew of anyway.
Yeah, but back in that era for sure. Nowadays, the chances of somebody having a run better than whatever, like it's just like, oh, we think it's world record. The chances of somebody else having a world record better than it is like very slim to none, but back then it's like definitely the pathways were open for that, for sure.
Because nobody had really grinded the game at all. I mean, it's just so like the standard is totally different for like how good you're trying. You know, it's just competition gets more and more tight as things progress. So yeah, back then it was, you could just pick it up and play and probably, yeah.
Did you take Dragorn's message of how it's a bad game to run as like a challenge to do it?
Did he say it was a bad? He probably did.
Dude, Dragorn shit talked it so hard. I think because he liked 64 so much, and then he just tried out Sunshine, and he got like a sub 2 hour Sunshine time, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't know, the cutscenes suck. It's just, you know, movement's not good. It's too slow." I forget exactly what it said.
I can see the animation in the world record history video where you're standing down the paragraph, and he's just like, "Yeah, this the opening cutscenes, like it's a huge drag, and the amount of time between levels, Mario 64, you can just jump right back in and." Like all that stuff. So he does talk shit about it for a solid 3 minutes.
Yeah. Which, that's fair. I mean, it's tough to compare. Mario 64 is like one of the best speed games. Like no cutscenes. Like you can just start a run real quick. So me at that time, I had never actually played Mario 64. I didn't actually play that until later. So Sunshine was my first like 3D Mario game.
You know what? I find that's a common thread because Sunshine was also my first 3D Mario. And that people tend to glance over 64 when they didn't play it first, which makes sense. So,
yeah. Well, and then playing 64 later, it's like these controls suck. Preferred home. Yeah, the camera's not perfect in Sunshine, but
Trey, didn't you play Mario 64 for the first? Like you played Mario 64 DS, but you played Mario 64 for the first time on 3D All-Stars.
Yeah, yeah. The first time I played OG 64 was on All-Stars.
And that's crazy.
I got all 120 stars.
Shit, really?
Yeah, for real. I never bothered to go around to it because I've seen Mario 64 speedruns since 2005. Like, that's the first speedrun I ever saw. And so I was like, you know, I've seen this so much. Do I really have to play it anymore? And I played the DS version. I got the All-Stars thing, so I played it in All-Stars. And my main complaint, the camera was jank, yo.
Yeah, I think I'd have the exact same critique or the exact same attitude towards Ocarina of Time if I didn't love Ocarina of Time from when I was a kid. Because I've seen the speedrun so much that I think even now I'm sitting here going like, do I even really need to play it? Because all the nostalgia has been drained away from me.
But you know, the funny thing is, it's surprising how little you actually pick up from even seeing hundreds of runs of a game.
Oh, yeah.
Because the main thing that stumped me is I did not know that there was a second MIPS rabbit. I was searching for the 119th or 120th star, and I was like, dude, I've been everywhere. What have I not done yet? This rabbit's still here, but like, I already got him, right?
Yeah, I already got that. Yeah, no, exactly.
I was like, as a meme, I grabbed him again. I was like, what? A new star? What? What? It was so funny.
Theoretel, do you remember what your last 120th star in SM64 was?
Oh, man. Probably something in Tiny Huge Island, because that level is crazy, dude. That level is like,
true.
You turn giant and you just fall off the map. Like, it's
it's basically two levels in one.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's, and then so Wet Dry Worlds, maybe, probably one of those two, because those were my least favorite levels.
I know that mine was the Peach's Slide second time, because it's the same thing as Trey. Yeah. We're just like, why would I do this again?
Or it's like the blooper race the second time too. It's so dumb.
It's like, why do you get the okay, sure, whatever. So SDA Sunshine.
Describe like your general thoughts on SDA. What was it like being active on that forum? Like, just general talk about it.
Sure. Yeah, so I got to talk a little about like just how it was, because the biggest challenge at the time for me was recording and uploading gameplay, something right. That's like really easy to do nowadays. I was like 14 or 15 when I really wanted to start recording, and I didn't have a computer. It never occurred to me to buy a computer, even if I had, like, getting that computer connected to the internet would have been like, we just had one computer. It was in the family room. And so it's like, mm-hmm. a lot of guys back in the before would use like VHS tapes. So what I ended up doing was using a DVD recorder, and ooh. That was how I recorded all my gameplay. So I got, you could get DVD-Rs, which were like, you just record on them once and then that's what's on the disc permanently, or DVD-RWs, which you can do like multiple, but then the footage gets like messed up. So anyway,
I have piles of those burn discs somewhere.
Like, yeah, I got like 100 packets at one point. Yeah,
yeah. So I remember actually growing up having a lot of those discs. There was like DVD, DVD-R, DVD-RW, or something, like some other kinds. We had no idea like what the differences were, but yeah.
Yeah, RWs just didn't last very long when you tried to like use them multiple times. But I was able to get the footage on discs. Then I had to get software to actually encode the videos. So there was software called Handbrake that I used for that. And basically, like, between recording on the discs and using that software, files would get corrupt. Not like all the time, but like fairly often it would just be like, no, sorry, we can't read this disc. So that was the... That was the reason why I one of the reasons I decided to do segmented runs initially, because I didn't want to play for 2 hours and lose all that footage. And it was just generally easier to play in small chunks of time. And that was because it was so, like, there were so many steps involved to even getting a video online. So,
you know, what's funny, the whole segmented thing, it's funny how often that's a byproduct of the situation you're in. Because I remember the Japanese players used to exclusively do segmented Sunshine runs because of how, like, the Nico Live site worked. And for some reason on that site, you can only stream, like, in 15-minute segments.
Yeah.
So they would, like, stream, do one segment, get to, like, get Bianco done, segment the stream, get Rico done, segment the stream. And that's how they would do it. So.
Yeah.
How long ago did Nico change from that? Do you remember?
It must have been, like, years ago. But I remember when I started, it still worked that way. And Tobo would, like, pause the thing, you know, it would go to the next thing.
Yeah.
But at some point it's changed to like multiple hours. So woohoo.
it's not forever. Like, I know Twitch, the cap is 48 hours. I know that.
Yeah. I think it changed to like 2 hours, and maybe it's longer now. I don't know.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
2 hours still today. Wow. Yeah. So YouTube had a thing back then too. I think videos could only be like 5 or 10 minutes. Cause that was, yeah. So then like, YouTube is just becoming a thing.
Yeah.
And so they're limiting their... So then I was like chopping up the videos or the segments so that they wouldn't be too long for YouTube. So that's why if you go to my stuff on there, some of it is like... There's like a 15-second video because that was just like... That was how I was...
okay, we got Wind Waker segment 74. It's like a 15-second walking in a door.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
Yeah, and like saving on the edge of a grid in the sea to like save 5 seconds. Like that was, Wind Waker was just something I worked on in my spare time for like 4 years while I was at college.
I came across that Wind Waker run like so long ago because until 2012, I didn't get like heavily invested in the speedrunning community, but I always knew it existed between 05 and 2012. So like every now and then, maybe like once a year, I would get curious, be like, huh, I wonder what that game's speedrun would look like. So I would just like YouTube search Wind Waker speedrun. And of course yours would come up. I'm like, damn, I got to watch like 60 segments of this. This is crazy.
Yeah, it is so much cutscene and not even, I mean, the actual gameplay is. So then I have my discs. But then, so the problem I ran into after that was for SDA, you had to have your video files in three different qualities, like low, medium, and high, three different resolutions or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So they had a software for that. That I used like once, but that was just like another thing that could go wrong. You know what I mean? Like it would just after the recording. So what I ended up doing was actually mailing most of my discs to, I don't remember who it was, but some SDA admin, and they like encoded did that process for me.
Might have been Mike Uyama. Yeah,
it could have been him. I don't know if it was him or not. I remember him posting in the thread at least a couple times.
Is Mike Uyama still like around on the internet? I haven't seen him in so long.
Not that I know. I just see him pop up at GDQs and then.
Yeah. So Mike Uyama was like, he was there in person at the first GDQ I went to in 2015.
Yeah.
And then after that point, he kind of fell off the face of the earth, and then he came back at some point. And now I have no idea anymore. So
there were like allegations of something at some point. I feel like, I don't know. I actually don't. We don't have to get into that. I don't really. But then it finally worked. And so going to then my 100% run, ultimately when I submitted that run, it got rejected because, I don't know. Yeah, the Pinna Park segment, I forgot to turn Yoshi orange for the merry-go-round because basically that too is like, because Pinna Park is like one of the furthest, like the spawn point in Delfino Plaza, you have to go further to get there.
Right.
It's not that much further in retrospect, but like,
yeah, it's a really small world.
Well, and the way timing worked back then is like, anytime I ended a segment, I would stop the timer when I hit save and quit. And then I wouldn't start the timer on the next segment until it says like go on the screen.
Yeah. Because timing in SDA started on the first input.
Right. When you have control of Mario. So for like
control, right?
Bianco Hills, it's faster to save and quit and do a new segment, and you just save time versus just continuing. Yeah. not that much time. But anyway, I did Pinna Park in all one log segment, and it went mostly well. And then I forgot the color thing. And so I just wanted to submit it because like all the stuff I talked about, I was worried it would, in retrospect, I should have just gone back and like improved it. But yeah, I think there were five people who verified my run, and they all rejected it because of that. So
damn, that's so strict.
A bummer,
that's so strict for like how unoptimized it even was back then.
Yeah, I was surprised because I'm the only one running the game. Yeah. I like watched Duden's run and came up with a lot of route changes by myself, and I was just like, well, oh well. Put it all on YouTube at the end of the day.
What was the time of your run again?
It was like an hour. It was like 4:15 or something.
Okay, so yeah, like a pretty substantial improvement. I don't know why they wouldn't just allow it despite the glaring issues or whatever.
Or just ask me to redo that one segment, basically. But yeah, that was what... So that at the time was really discouraging because...
Yeah, I bet. Goddamn.
Yeah, it's just... Well,
this is after like sending all the DVDs to your... to the quality changer guy as well, and then... Having,
the whole process. Yeah,
the whole process, and you have to start it all over again.
So, very different than just, like, you know, resetting and starting a new run, you know, in present day.
Yeah, nowadays, like, if you did a full run, submitted it, and it's like, oh, yeah, not verified, it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll try it again. You have to go through, like, the whole domino process of sending your discs to the guy and then having them put the quality in and then... Just step and step and step and step and get it to the end, and then it's no, and you're just like, fuck.
It's like, well, we forgot to change the color of Yoshi, so we're rejecting it.
Did they tell you specifically that, or did you know?
Oh, yeah. No, they told me. They all left, like, pretty detailed. Like, it was kind of cool because, like, they clearly all watched the whole run. Like, everybody had a pretty decent, like, paragraph about the run, and they were like, because it's just, I, like, stand still, and then I spin around in a circle, and then it's just, like... I don't know. I guess it ruined the spirit of the the run for them. And they just thought it should be better because it was segmented. So
fair enough.
Fair is fair, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, that was really, and so that's just kind of been my, I've never been like a super grinder. It's more interesting for me to like, figure out the game and come up with a route and do like, I don't have a, I don't know, anybody who grinds for a world record, especially how high the competition is today, is like super impressive to me. Cause you've got to have like so much, you've got to know that you can hit a really high standard and you've got to hold yourself to it and like grind forever. And I think that's, well, Trey knows a lot about that.
It's kind of ironic because I remember back in the day, I didn't know about speedrunning, just like the inside baseball part of it. So whenever I saw speedrun stuff, I just made the assumption, oh, they must be some gods of gaming or something. I can never do that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When ironically, it was way less optimized than it is now. But now, when it is more optimized, I understand the process of getting good at a speedrun and how like anyone can like do it to some extent. So it's a whole like... Well, dichotomy, I guess, of that.
The whole thing is that you often say, even on this podcast, it's like, yeah, I'm bad at games.
Oh, yeah, you know, just in general. I'm bad at games until I put some time into it, then I can get pretty good. So.
Yeah, same.
That's my deal, though.
Yeah. So have you been, like, since the SDA era, so, like, you eventually did submit your run that eventually got, like, authorized and stuff, right?
Or not. SDA, no, I don't think so, because
80%, right?
Any percent is on there. Yeah. Percent. Yeah. Any percent was good. That was because that was segmented too originally. Like I did the same segments as Dragorn did for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then so that's on there. And then I thought about trying to do the Wind Waker thing, but yeah, I worked on that in bits and pieces. And by the time I was done, like Twitch was a thing and there were people zombie hovering and doing shit way faster than I was. So
wow, it took it just that long. I remember the Wind Waker thing. I thought it was out like years before that started.
Well, I started it in 2009.
Right. Yeah.
When I started.
Long time ago.
Yeah. But I think I finished it in like 2013. So.
Oh, damn.
It was just, it's kind of like a, you know, like a project in my garage type of thing. I would just go back to it when I could.
And like, what was even known at Wind Waker back then? Was there like any glitches at all?
Yeah, there's some. Well, I mean, compared to now, no.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
like I skipped the trials at the end, going out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do that many. Glitches wasn't my thing. I was more trying to, you know.
Movement.
Movement. Yeah, movement. And then making a million segments to save a little time. That was kind of me and another guy. He has a Star Fox Adventures run that has like a shit ton of segments because, yeah. So that was kind of our thing, but
that is a funny concept, optimizing the way you split your segments to save time. It's like a metagame inside the game.
Yeah, it is. It totally is. It's kind of weird thinking back on it now, but that was just how it was. Besides trial skip, I can't.
Do you have like any other memories? Like, were you active on the forums outside of the runs you did? Like putting like adding your own input to the topics and stuff?
No, not on SDA. The forum, again, it's the forum that I was really active on for years and years was the elite.net for GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. I was active on that forum from like 2003 to like 2014. That was where I put in like a lot of, like I became an admin on there, and SDA, I never really got involved in the,
like the overall
what other people were doing on there. Cause it was just tough, man. It was tough to get the videos downloaded. And like anytime I'm on the computer, it's, you know, the family computer. So like that was really, it came down to circumstances that I wasn't really on SDA that much. And I was salty about my run.
Were you ever like competitive within the GoldenEye community or the Perfect Dark community? Or were you just involved in the forum side? I don't quite know.
Yeah, I wasn't that competitive. I think my top rank was like 60th or something.
That's pretty good.
It's not too shabby.
On the ranks. Yeah, I spent some time with the game. I never was on, now I'm like 300th or something. The game has really come a long way since I stopped playing. But yeah, I played it a lot. I was active on the forums. I think a certain group of us used AOL Instant Messenger literally until it was wiped from the face of the earth, like using alternate clients to be able to still log in. And like eventually we moved to Discord now, but we had a group chat
over Skype.
We never used Skype. Smart I don't man. Think some of the guys liked it.
I wasn't crazy about Skype.
When did you start playing GoldenEye?
We got that game in like 2002. And really? I played it, I played it on and off for like 5 years probably. It's weird thinking back on how long I played that.
But you said you like stumbled onto what speedrunning was in like 2004, 2005, right? So, so 007 was your first foray into that.
Yeah, that was kind of like the introduction again, because the game has target times on every level to get the cheats. So that's I took that to GameFAQs and I was like, hey, I finally got all the cheats. And then you find the real website with the guys grinding the game and all the times are way faster. And then eventually I was like, what else is there besides GoldenEye? So, yeah, there was like a few years in there before I started doing the Sunshine stuff.
It's like you earn your path to just like, okay, well, now we'll tell you where the real site is. You've done enough.
Yeah.
now you get to see what everybody else is doing. They're all better, way better than what you've been interacting with beforehand. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, just another niche community online that has since, grown quite a bit and seen it, same as any other community, gone through a lot of changes. But that was the start of it back in the day.
So what have you done with all the SDA era and stuff, and then Twitch started? What was like, maybe not your involvement, but like, what did you think of it after that? Like, did you get involved within Twitch, or where were you in that era? Like when Twitch started blowing up.
Twitch became a thing. I remember being disappointed. Seeing zombie hovering in Wind Waker, because I knew you had to mash the shit out of it. I was like, I'm gonna, like, my wrists are already screwed up. Like, I was worried. And that, like, I don't know, it turned into a little bit of paranoia. Like, I'm an old dude. All the new strats are shit that I don't even want to learn anyway.
How old were you when you were saying you were an old dude?
Like, 23?
No.
It's getting there.
Shit.
Just like, yeah, I felt like I belonged to the previous era or whatever. I mean, and really that's just, kind of bullshit. But eventually what I got into was Ocarina of Time. And that I streamed that on Twitch a little bit. Twitch isn't really my thing personally. Being live on camera for hours at a time is like just not really my thing. I don't know. But I did stream some Ocarina of Time, had some fun with that. And
various categories or bingo or
it was called No I Am Wrong Wart back then. I think it's called GSR now. Basically beat the game without doing any crazy glitches.
Okay.
And then All Dungeons, which lets in some crazy glitches, and then 100% as well. I was in a part of 100% relay at GDQ a few years ago. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
So did all of that, and then I was, so that was in like 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, I wanted to make a Sunshine comeback. I
vaguely remember that actually.
Really?
Like you might've tweeted it or something?
Probably. I don't know. Maybe. Because I got a Japanese copy of the game and I got the practice ROM and like I got good at hover sliding and like I'm like, okay, I can do some of these new strats. But it just comes down to like, and I still kind of want to, it just comes down to how much time you have to put into it. Because I don't want to like, I want to learn most of the hard strats, you know what I mean? And to do those in runs, it's just, it needs a lot of practice, especially from the standards that I'd always had for speedrunning back in the day. It's just, Sunshine's still really fun to play for sure.
Yeah. Even as far back as like 2017, it wasn't really that. I don't know. It wasn't looked upon well. Just like, oh, I'm gonna do IL strats and run. So it's not like that far gone to It's definitely a new mentality, or in the grand scheme of things, to be like, oh, I'm going to try like the nth degree of things in runs.
That's definitely the case. In recent times, I'm finding it difficult to maintain the same consistency as I did back in the day. But the thing is, I'm going for just like way crazier stuff than I did back then.
Yeah.
Right. Like in 2015, I was doing safety strats all day, as long as I just get them all. Nowadays, I'm doing just like crazy glitchy wall kick dives and stuff, expecting to get them after each other. And like, I mess up one. I'm like, how did I mess that up? Come on. I've been struggling to get decent 96 shines times. It's tough.
I have been watching.
By the way, a bit of an aside here. I'm going to Glitch Infinite to do a 96 shines run soon. I'm leaving Thursday.
Shit.
I guess we'll find out by the time this goes up next Sunday if I actually made it or not, because apparently there's going to be a lot of snow and stuff the day I'm trying to leave. So hopefully flights don't get canceled or anything. We'll see. I don't know.
What do you think? To add more to the aside, what do you think you can get in the 96 shine run?
Whew, man. I want to.
What do you think?
Okay. So I didn't improve my PB today as I was hoping.
I saw that.
I could have, but then the universe just said, nah, you're going to get a limp rocket in Piazza 8 and die.
No.
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if I got like a 235 or something, but realistically, given just like marathon nerves and random stuff happening, maybe like a 237, 238. I don't know.
A few minutes slow.
Depends on how good
if the run
CRT
just totally
is.
Sucks. Might lose like 2 minutes.
Yeah, you could just lose 2 minutes on one thing.
Do you like 96 or 120 better? Or do they feel the same?
See, I like 120 more. I don't know. I've moved on from it, I guess. Like, yeah. 96 doesn't require the same level of routing and knowledge as 120 does.
True.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But like 120, especially early on, and I'm sure you can relate to this, it's a lot more fun when you're just sort of going in, figuring it out, learning all the strats and like doing it. When it gets more and more optimized and you're like pushing 310, 305, sub 3, it just gets way too stressful and it's like not really fun anymore.
Hey, that's where I'm at with 96 shines.
I can totally see why.
Welcome to the club. Yeah.
I like 96 shines right now because PBing is easy for me. But when I get to your level, it'll be like, fuck, dude.
Yeah. No,
I don't like this.
It's funny because like Trey and I are on like flipped perspectives on this, because he grinded 120 shines for years and years and years. And I've grinded 96 shines for years and years and years. And well, I'm not playing 120 now, and I really don't have much of a.
You were this close to doing it, and you got interrupted by True All Hundos.
Dude, True All Hundo is so much more fun. it is interesting watching you play 96 shines and then having you struggle in like the 235s and 236s. I'm like, yeah, I did too. Like, hey, I was there for a while. So
I guess a part of me is like, you know, I got this sick time in 120. I can be sick in 96 automatically, right? No. But no, you got to go through the struggle. There's no getting around it, right?
It's just any percent but longer.
Yeah, it's just like, and then you make one mistake, lose 50 seconds. It's like, well, great. There goes all that time I saved.
Yeah. Do you know anything about 96 or 79 third out, like the side categories? Like, go for it.
96 sounds like it would be no blue coins.
Yes.
And then 79, no.
Okay. Well, 79 is the same thing minus
11, 11. Just all the main levels. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ooh, I'm impressed. The 79, I feel like 79 is the biggest meme of them all. Even though 79, like the way you route it in is just. You have to do 96 by basically doing any percent and then doing the rest of the worlds. Like you enter Corona and then leave and then do the rest.
Okay.
So like a lot of people just kind of look at it as just like, oh, it's any percent plus stuff. But 79, you can actually fuck with the route and do all the different worlds and then do Corona, because it's actually not that much slower to do that. Or I guess it's faster to do that. And
yeah, 79 ends in Gelato, right? And then you do Gelato 7 last and then you're done.
So, Theodel, your perspective on, did you keep an eye on speedrunning past that point? After SDA and stuff, and you were like involved in you streamed a little bit of Ocarina of Time, but like, What did you think of the development at that point of like Sunshine speedrunning or Wind Waker speedrunning or any of that? You saw zombie hovering and went, oh, that's way too much for my bum wrists. But what did you think of that after that point?
Yeah, no, I followed. I definitely followed Trey while he was the top guy on the 120 leaderboard, more as a lurker than anything. But yeah, I mean, there's certain things where it's like. Like my runs don't have like Mecha Bowser skip for example, or the cutscenes there. So like instantly I could save like a few minutes. So some stuff is like, oh man, I just got to go back and do a run and like it'll automatically be better. but yeah, just, I don't know, man. I'm one of the old guys. Like every time I see a YouTube comment where it's like some casual, you know, some person, and it's like a speed run with a lot of glitches, and they're like, you're not even playing the game, this is bullshit. Like I empathize a little bit. Like I was never too crazy about all the glitches and stuff that seemed like they were popping up more as what, yeah, it was just natural for that to happen in speedrunning as it got like more developed.
But then there's also like that philosophical discussion where like all those casual players say, oh, you should do the run without glitches. It'd be a real run then. But glitchless categories are way more arbitrary than ones with glitches.
Right.
Because you got to make rules to be like, this is a glitch, this isn't. This is a glitch, this isn't. So it's like, it's kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, who decides what is a glitch? And
I think like the rules for glitchless Ocarina of Time is this big document like, giant list of like everything that could possibly happen.
Well, I know that there has to be what I would perceive as glitches in that because my time is what 3 hours longer, 4 hours longer than the world record. So I'm just like, what the hell do you do? Like,
I mean, they just know like exactly the movement to take and stuff in each situation.
Well, like, whereas sure, you're just sort of water temple.
You know where to go, but like you're not doing all the optimal shlines and movements.
Yeah, and there's certain things like in Jabu. I don't know if this is still the strat or not, but you can like damage boost from the elevator in that one room to like the boss basically.
Yeah. Right.
So you have to get, but that saves, but so then it's like, well, you know, but that's not a glitch. That's just, so that's an example of like, where do you toe the line? Who decides what? So,
and there's also the thing that like Lego was trying to do, like getting around the fire in Dodongo's cavern.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Still like weird stuff like that. It's still possible glitchless.
But so in regards to Sunshine, did you like the fact that it, I don't know, I feel like nowadays even still Sunshine just kind of doesn't have many glitches.
It's really not that broken.
Yeah, it's not. It's pretty, like I was kind of gearing up to do a run and I was like, okay, I'm going to use the big guys to do the skip in Pinna Park to go to the merry-go-round instead of the small guys. I was kind of feeling my way out and learning, like, I'm not going to do all the hard strats right away. But yeah, the glitches in Sunshine overall are pretty, pretty harmless, especially compared to once I got into learning Ocarina of Time, dude, that shit is, is crazy. And like all the setups are so precise. It's all because it's 20 frames per second. So it's like, there's a lot of cases where you only have like one or two frames to execute something. And, Sunshine isn't that way at all.
Well, for Sunshine specifically, I think it's just like, oh, there's three massive things that you just kind of, or not even, like two massive things you have to learn. And then other than that, it's just getting good at the game. And I feel like a lot of games don't really have that. Sure, they have getting good at the game, like in Metroid Prime, you can get it good at the game, but it's just like, oh, okay, well, I need to learn how to get this out of bounds here and then get and jump on. I need to know where this object in the environment is. It's invisible, but I know that it's here. And then like you just have to learn step by step with certain out of bounds or glitches. But Sunshine, it's more often than not just like, oh, I have to get good and I'll learn these GBS. I'll learn GBS.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah. I have several hours in what I guess is now the old GBS. What is that? Is the hoverless like used for any percent now, or is it actually faster?
Oh, no.
No,
hell
it's not.
No, it's way slower.
Oh, okay.
It's just the fact that it makes it possible for hoverless is huge for hoverless. That's it.
The way I do the old strat, I'm sure hoverless would be faster because I take forever, but
Yeah.
Sure, what was I going to say?
Zilpika Kirby did make a task where He goes really fast, does a triple jump out of nowhere, and I don't really understand it.
Oh, yeah, you can triple jump. You can actually just, like, clip in the normal GBS way without a fruit.
Yeah, if you go fast enough.
Yeah, you have enough horizontal speed. Like, he does this, like, momentum triple jump into the corner and just goes right in. It's not hoverless, though. It's just, like, a faster way to do it.
But the crazy thing about it is, like, I've rewatched the clip a few times, and he goes... It seems like he just goes into from a regular jump or like a regular slide off into a triple jump. And I'm just like, how did you do that?
He double jumps into a triple jump like a frame later almost.
That's crazy.
Because he double jumps off of the sand into a triple jump off the dock. It's like instantaneous.
That's nuts.
Oh my God, dude, that's impossible.
It's a task though, so you can do that shit.
Yeah, I know. But I was just like, can this be possible? No, I can't.
You know what? Thinking of how Sid's opinion on TASS, are you big on TASSes? Like watching TASSes there at all?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think TASSes are really cool. I have there's a guy I know who does cart 64 TASSes all the time that are just like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the analogy I would use is it's like a chess engine. So like nowadays computers are huge in chess and like computers calculate way. And so it's like you can look at a computer evaluation of a chess game and it's like you're not going to follow it move for move, but maybe it'll show you some cool stuff. And overall, that's how I feel about TASSes. It's just like anybody who's into it, because obviously any like, you know, tens of thousands of re-records, like it's quite a fucking like project to even put one of those together. And I always think they look sweet. Yeah,
it's,
I like
TASSes
for sure.
It's the ultimate segmented run. You can have like 100,000 segments.
Yeah.
That'd be nuts.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like two inputs and then that's a segment. And yeah, that's basically.
Do you have any particularly memorable TASSes that you like enjoy?
Definitely Mario 64 stuff that came out because, you know, because that's the most active game. Like for other games, especially further back in the day, there would be like a TASS and then another one would come out like years and years later. Mm-hmm. So I always enjoyed seeing what the Mario 64 guys were doing. Some of the stuff they've done with OOT, like the no doors, that shit is like...
Oh yeah, like one key.
Yeah.
I'm sure you came across the viral Mario Bros. 3 TASS from like 2003.
Yeah, Mario Bros. 3.
That was a huge
for
deal.
For sure. Like all the pinpoint jumps and yeah, all the crazy shit there.
So Trey introduced the question saying my opinion on TASSes.
Because the thing is that Sid prefers the human element of speedrunning, and a TASS is just not there. There's no human element.
When I started in speedrunning, I don't know. Like I like TASSes enough. I was just like, oh, that's really cool. That's interesting. He can go to the credits from 10 seconds into a Super Mario World starting. That's interesting. Like all the things that are impossible for humans. Sure, it's fine. But if it's just like, see, it's I guess it's runs that are like Celeste, where it's just it's the TASSes that are Celeste. It's like, oh, it's just the movement that everybody does, but perfect. And it's just like, I don't know, like, that's fine. Like, I don't...
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It's also kind of... We think it's kind of corny. There's this trailer for TASS videos, or maybe something else, where it's saying things like, pushing the limits of what humans can do, or going beyond.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, you're doing, like, hundreds of re-records. Of course we can't do this shit. What are you talking about?
And there was this one at a GDQ at some point, there was a TASS segment where at some point one of the TASSers was talking and I don't remember what game it was for, but they were just talking about the TASS itself and they were they looked at a forum for the game or like a Discord conversation or whatever. And a lot of people talking about a specific strat where like, oh, man, we can't do this. It's too hard. And they looked at it as just like, I can do it. And I'm just like, you're a TASSer. You're a fucking TASSer. Like, what do you mean?
Like, yeah, if I had the resources, I could do it, too.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I definitely see it as like it's like a separate pursuit, because then it's like the current day Ocarina of Time any percent is like, yeah, you watch the cutscene spin around in a circle and go to the credits. So it's like,
yeah, pretty much.
What the fuck's happening? So it's like, well, we name our file a certain thing so that it'll pull something out of memory. It's almost like a coding puzzle. You know what I mean? It's just a different
is like it's like a puzzle, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely hear like trying to combine the two or be like, oh, I saw that at a task is like, yeah, I don't know. Depends on what the game is and what like the trick is, obviously, but.
You go to the merry-go-round with Pink Yoshi, you spin around in a circle, you get to the credits.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
That was what I was trying to do.
So next level. You were about to find the wrong warp. If you enter the merry-go-round with the wrong color Yoshi.
Hey, maybe if you eat the durian in the back and become purple Yoshi, maybe something happens. Nobody knows.
Ooh. No one's ever tried it.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is there a durian in the park?
Yeah, at the other side of the pool.
Oh, I forgot about that. Are. You're right. Yeah.
You just kick it around sometimes.
Some pineapple. Like,
I don't have the sunshine knowledge, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like regular casual gaming, what casual gaming have you been up to? And like, what do you do outside speedrun stuff typically?
Let's talk casual gaming.
Let's talk casual gaming.
Let's go.
Lately, XCOM 2.
Yo, you know what's so funny about that? Is that I bought that game for like a huge deal like 2 days ago.
Wow, no shit.
Because I guess Sid was looking through stuff and he's like, hey, XCOM's like 75% off. I was like, oh, I'll try it out. All right.
Nice. Yeah, I've had it for like 3 years and like this is like the first time I'm actually having a successful. Because, back like when I tried it before, if like something happened that I didn't like, I would restart the entire campaign. And so
the thing like with Fire Emblem. All those kinds of games, the turn-based games, the more you can fight that urge to not reset, the more fun you have.
Yeah, it's way it's more fun now that I'm not doing that. Yeah. So I'm reloading it depends. Like, I'm like, oh, that was, you know, one low-ranking soldier, I don't care. But if it's like two people miss and then the enemy does critical damage, I'm like, fuck that, I'm reloading the save. Like,
because that really is the intended experience of Fire Emblem games, is the permadeath is there for a reason, not to make you rage reset as much, but to force you to move on in the face of adversity. It's like, oh, I lost that my wife who died. Oh no, what do I do? And there's like that choice of like, do I waste the time resetting and doing it again, or just push on and see what happens? And then XCOM, they might change the gameplay style too.
Yeah, it's more like XCOM also has like a civilization element where they're expecting you to keep up with your equipment and your research and your ship. And like, if you start falling behind, you fall behind on multiple fronts and it gets really painful. So that's, but once it all comes together, it's a lot of fun, I have to say.
There was another game you were going to.
Yeah, Witcher 3 is the other. That's have you guys played that at all?
No.
I want to get to Witcher 3 at some point. Yeah, we're watching Joseph Anderson's videos on them.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Those are 10 hours of
Hey, I
like Joseph Anderson.
Yeah, you just you do the dishes, you put them in your headphones at 3 a.m. and you're just sitting there going like, I guess I'm listening to Witcher analysis. Never played the games, but now I know that hey, if you talk to the graveyard keeper in chapter 2 of Witcher 1, at this specific time, I don't know. Like, I'm just learning things about it.
I watched the first hour of that video, like over many segments. Mm-hmm. I just kind of I put it down though.
How are you enjoying Witcher 3?
Or I've played it before. I'm that's funny because I actually just went back and tried Witcher 1, and it's not terrible. It's just, man, there's just certain things about it that are like, it's a lot of like the World of Warcraft type stuff where it's just like, okay, go get 7 of these and go light these 5 fires. And then, whereas Witcher 3, sometimes you're supposed to gather stuff, but it feels more like you're choosing how to do it. You can just, but because you're like trying to, I think it's incorporated into the newer Witcher game, like way better. So I always end up going back to Witcher 3.
Are you starting the Witcher series again to like craft your own story or no?
That's what I've always wanted to do. I just always burn out on Witcher 1.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't hang in there. But yeah, Witcher 3, the story is one of the biggest things that I play video games for, or at least like interesting characters. And I just think Witcher 3 is like, like a cut above anything else I've ever played when it comes to that. It's just really well done.
Have you always had story as like the number one thing in games?
Yeah, I would say so. I had like a Guitar Hero phase
Yeah.
When I first got an Xbox 360.
Guitar Hero's insane.
Yeah, so totally. No. after that, I got Mass Effect, the BioWare sci-fi game.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I mean, it depends. You know, back in the day, I played a lot of like sports games too, like baseball, basketball, football, because my family's big into sports. But yeah, if I'm going to sit down and have like, or BioShock is one of my all-time favorite.
Ooh, that's a good game, yeah.
Games. So just like, you know, the mood that they create, the way, yeah, just the subtle details of
the atmosphere,
that stuff. Right. Yeah, like the reveal at the end and all that. So no spoilers.
Did you beat the Mass Effect trilogy? Did you finish it all?
Yes. Yeah.
What did you think
of the
end? Yeah,
I got all the DLCs and all that.
What did you think of the ending of the Mass Effect trilogy?
Man,
to go back 7 years to drama.
Well, yeah. Initially, I was really unhappy with it. And then I go on YouTube and I see all this shit about indoctrination theory, which is like there's this group of people who think, or maybe they came up with this theory because they hated the ending so much that the whole ending is like Shepard is under this like the spell of the Reapers, but he doesn't know it.
Okay.
So like you're playing the game and you think what you're doing is real, but it's actually like a fake thing. And so at the end of the day, like the Reapers just fool Shepard, and like I thought that was a cool theory. Eventually I kind of came around on it as like, I don't know, sci-fi shit just gets crazy sometimes, and I stopped trying to like understand. I don't know. It's just the little boy walks up and you're like, dude, what the fuck is going on? Like it never really made sense to me, but nowadays I just like, I don't know. It's cool. It's hard to make an ending for a whole, like, especially something so like epic that I don't know what would be like a good ending for that.
I remember every like conversation surrounding it when Mass Effect 3 came out was just like, well, what did you think they were going to do? Like they had to they can't make 73 different endings, and they're going to try to make it them all kind of coexist with one. I know I got through halfway of Mass Effect 3 and just kind of put it down because the I don't know, the interpretation of it in the air, like the spirit of everybody's review of it was just kind of lingering, and I'm like, I just don't like, it feels gross to play this game. Like,
right. Yeah, I remember that feeling for sure.
Yeah, it's same thing with Assassin's Creed 3. People hated Assassin's Creed 3, and I loved Assassin's Creed 2 and stuff. But yeah, so I got through the first two. Like, I loved Mass Effect 2, and then started and Dead Space 3. God damn,
man,
it!
I really hope that like Xenoblade 3 doesn't end up like a Mass Effect 3 or something. I hope.
When is that coming out?
September of this year.
Oh, later on. Gotcha.
You played Xenoblade?
Yeah, that should be sick. No, I have not. I have the Xenoblade armor in Breath of the Wild.
Oh, cool.
I guess everybody does. You get that for free. Yeah, a couple of my friends have played that, though. They say it's fun.
I would recommend, I think one has a slightly better, like, characterization interactions, but two has better combat for sure.
It's interesting. It's like, okay, Theodel, if you had to recommend one game to any gamer, right?
Ooh.
What game would you recommend and why?
Somebody who's never played games or just like a general like.
They're a gamer. Like they casually play. Like they're not. They don't
what,
not
what
know
game
games.
Do you recommend to a gamer?
Yeah. What game do you recommend to a gamer? I don't know. That's a good question.
I would say actually, Star Fox 64.
Damn.
That is like. Yeah, I love that game, dude. I think that game is like the perfect, because like, you know, Mario, Zelda, it's almost like the light version. Like Zelda's a light RPG. You know, they're all kind of easy. Like, not that they aren't fun games,
oh, you know,
but you
that,
know what
that
I
is
mean.
True.
Like,
I never thought of it this way. Zelda and Mario were like the gateways to other kinds of games, other genres.
Yeah. Star Fox 60,
like Dark Souls or whatever.
Star Fox 64 is the acid of the gaming drugs, you know?
Huh.
You got to have the gateway first.
Right.
Well, just like, I've never had half as much fun playing a flying and shooting game. Like, all the boss fights are really good. The music is awesome. I just think that game is really, I don't know. There's something about that game. I just fucking love it, man. And like, it's also really hard towards the end. And obviously that's a very specific kind of game. I just feel like it doesn't get to, and it's also like the only, well, I haven't played all the other Star Fox games, but I just think that one's really good.
Yeah.
I think
Star Fox 64 was mentioned a few times on our top 10 pod.
I think KO regrets not putting it on his. We get a lot of Star Fox in general fan, like Pinkish loved Adventures, Quan loves Adventures. They both love 64.
Adventures a lot, yeah.
You like Adventures?
I liked it more when I was 12 years old than I do now, but yeah, I had fun with Adventures for sure, yeah.
Did you have Assault?
No.
Because Assault's
maybe I rented.
The only one
I think I rented it one time.
That's the only one I ever owned. Yeah. It's good. It's just kind of short. I don't know.
Yeah, it just doesn't stand out, I don't think. And yeah, I mean, besides that, I would probably just still say Ocarina of Time or Wind Waker, possibly. Wind Waker SD, I guess. I feel like there's so many things they do well in Wind Waker. Like,
oh, SD,
I feel like Wind Waker is like the...
Yeah, HD,
yeah, man,
HD I, might go blind.
I meant to say HD.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's different. Way
well,
different.
I'm biased towards SD because, like, I don't know. I think the most people's problem with it is the Triforce hunt at the end. And I just don't. I think on paper, that makes a ton of sense to, like, sail around and get pieces of the Triforce for, like. But when they put it in the game, they don't like get you started on the Triforce hunt until the very end. And so it's like all of a sudden,
yeah.
You were playing Zelda, now you're on this massive scavenger hunt and you're like, I don't fucking care. I think that was there. It just like wasn't implemented quite like, but I fucking love Wind Waker, dude.
Yeah.
So I would probably recommend that too.
That is a common suggestion I hear is that allow you to get the Triforce stuff on the way during the whole game.
Yeah. There's like one time. There's one time where the boat is like, hey, you need to get the Triforce. And other than that, it's like never mentioned and never until the very end. And then, yeah. So it's just one of those things that happens when you have to actually release a game on time. And, you know,
when
not everything's going to be perfect.
Did Wind Waker HD come out 2013 or 14?
Sounds about right. Somewhere, yeah.
It was on the Wii U.
You know, it would have been so funny if you did. So your Wind Waker like segmented run went from like 09 to 13. What if at some point the segments randomly became HD? like you get to like segment 59 and now it's HD.
Hey guys, I'm encoding in a higher video setting. Don't worry about
it. It's the same game. I promise.
I never had a Wii U, or I would have been tempted to try that.
That would have been a really funny meme. Just like it's one game.
I think Wind Waker is the only one of the like the remakes of Zelda that people recommend the newer version of. Maybe Twilight Princess.
Yeah, because the 3D Ocarina of Time Majora's Mask looked stupid.
Kinda. See, what's funny is that
I agree with that.
You agree with that? Perfect. My interpretation of the 3DS things are just like my opinion. I don't think I've really heard very many people talk about it where it's just like, oh, I'd recommend the N64 versus the 3DS version. I know that I've watched a few YouTube videos. I can't remember his name. King
K.
Oh yeah. He did a lot of retrospectives and he used footage from the 3DS versions. And I'm just like, these look like the 3DS versions just look meh. They just look bad and I hate them.
The one thing that annoys me is Link's rolling animation. It looks off kilter for some reason. It's like it doesn't look like he's balancing properly when he does it.
He's just this. He's just made out of Play-Doh. He's just made out of Play-Doh instead of looking like a person.
Everything is. I remember seeing a screenshot of the town market and the mask shop was like super fancy looking. And I'm like, no, it's supposed to be like a brand new shop that he just opened. Like, why does it look? I don't know. The same thing you just said. I was like, I don't like it.
I knew Theodel would have that opinion being like an older person on it.
It doesn't have the same, like we were talking about atmosphere with BioShock and stuff. N64 is not supposed to be like the N64 version is not supposed to be cheery or anything like that. It's just like, okay, well, you're here. It exists, and then later on it becomes run down, and Ganon's like the apocalyptic future, as it were. And then in the N64 version, it's like, oh, it's a kid's game. And it's like, okay, well, that's not what I want.
Or you mean the 3DS?
The 3DS version, what did I say?
You said N64.
The N64 version.
Whatever.
Yeah, they just find the balance really well in the original game. Because I remember the first time I saw like Adult Link and I saw the market, I was like, holy shit, dude. Like, what do you mean? Like, the whole town's wiped out and everybody's gone. And like, I mean, obviously that's in the new game too, but
yeah,
there's but definitely like, it feels like there's like gravity and like, yeah.
And the HD version
combined
of Wind
with
Waker,
the kids game,
the HD version of Wind Waker doesn't really do any of that. That's why I would love like an HD version of those older games instead of like, oh, we're going to put it on the 3DS. Like, I don't want to put it on what? Just make an HD version of Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. By the way, talk about Majora's Mask for a moment. So you skipped over Majora's Mask.
Yeah, more or less. I eventually went back and played. I don't think my parents were a huge, because obviously that gets into more like the mask. Like, my mom saw a commercial or something and she was like, deep, like evil spirits. Like, so I wasn't allowed to play that game originally.
No.
Even though Ocarina of Time has like plenty of that type of like witches and zombies and fucking.
See,
your
mom knew about the creepypasta ahead of time. Like, I know, been drowned.
I think the time mechanic in Majora's Mask is a little stressful. Sometimes it's cool, like when a quest is like you do something. But overall, yeah, I just never really got into Majora's Mask for whatever reason.
I was on the edge of my seat. It was just like the time mechanic in Majora's Mask is, and I was just like, what is he about to say? What is
I
he about
that
to say?
It's bad until you learn to do like the slowing down time song.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Once you know that, it's like, okay,
it makes a big difference.
Right.
Yeah,
and you get used to losing all your bombs and shit every time you. Yeah,
but hey, at least your bank can travel through dimensions and you keep all your money.
Yeah, that saves it.
You that's just convenient. It does, man. It would be interesting if you kept all your arrows and stuff. That would qualm a lot of people's problems with it, or cure a lot of people's qualms with it. Qualm a lot of people's problems. What the hell does that sentence even mean?
I don't know.
But yeah, it's just like, oh, you spawn back in and you go to the bank immediately, get money, and then buy bombs. It's like, okay, well, now that we're an hour into the next cycle, I'm back to my equipment status. Awesome. But yeah, I get all the problems that people have with that. But yeah, with Wind Waker HD, I never beat it. I never beat Wind Waker HD. I beat Wind Waker OG like over and over again. HD and OG. Those are the different games.
The OG version.
The OG
version. That's the best one.
I loved SD. I turned on HD and I was just kind of like, yeah, okay. I played this enough when I was a kid.
Dude, HD, like, it's just so bright. Your eyes would hurt after a while. It's just so much blue.
No lie, man. And I didn't like they complained that you had to play. I didn't like the Swift sale. I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah, I hate quality of life improvements.
Yeah, I was just like, nah, I'm going to take my time playing the song every time and I'll be happy about it.
You know, that is one thing.
So,
people don't.
It's just a preference
people
thing.
People seem to glance over the fact you have a song that can warp you pretty much any major place in the Triforce part. Like, that's pretty pretty convenient, right?
It's really not. Maybe having to pay so many rupees is like.
Oh, yeah, the rupee grinding.
Slows it down too, and then you have to do his dialogue 8 times, so maybe all that adds up to be too much.
Well, Trey, I think this might be...
You're going to ask the big question?
We can ask the big question.
All right.
So, Theoretel. All right.
Yes, sir.
Let me bring you on this hypothetical with me, right? Trey's also here. He can...
We're going to go on a journey. That's a Swedish journey.
We're on a yacht.
We're on a yacht.
We're on a yacht.
Okay.
That's a good start.
You said yearny, so I said yacht.
Yeah,
okay,
we're on a yearny with our yacht.
We're docking on our yacht. We're getting off the yacht, right? We're in this big city. Now, there's a large building.
Wait a minute. We're all here together.
We're all here together, holding hands.
Okay.
Right? We're all in suits. We're all here now. Apparently, we're all here. Well, yep. I don't know why. We walk into this building. It's Gaming Inc., right, Trey, that's the building we've established.
Yeah, you're going into the Gaming Inc. headquarters.
It's a large, nice lobby. There's the purple crystal in the corner that looks expensive that you can't touch. And you go on the elevator and you go to the 34th floor. That's where we're at now.
Has to match the episode number, of course.
That's the episode number, so we're on floor 34. And you walk in, and it's a large office with a nice small desk at the end of it where, with somebody sitting at it. Trey, do you have somebody to sit at this desk?
Oh, it's got to be, who's that guy who found Casino Skip? Mano Cheese.
Oh, shit. Mano Cheese is a legend.
Yeah, he's a legend. Yeah. He's going to interview you.
Hey, he's here to interview you. So you have in your pocket folded up very, very nicely, but you pull it out of your pocket and you flatten it out and you hand it to Mano Cheese. You have your gaming resume. What is on this gaming resume that you hand to Mano Cheese in order for you to get a game at, or a game, a job at Gaming Inc.?
Yeah.
It can list. Oh my. It can list your gaming achievements. It can list your proficiency in 3D modeling. It can.
Ooh.
It can list the games you've beaten. It can list anything within gaming that you think that would be applicable on a gaming resume. What do you put on that resume?
Gotcha. Well, let's see. I can picture myself very clearly. I'm in the room. I would say. Been playing video games for 25 years.
Longevity.
Yeah. Longevity.
See, me and Sitter in the room, we're just like the hype men.
we're just saying what you're saying, just shorter. Longevity.
It would definitely talk about my time on the GoldenEye website, because I actually put that on my college, an application for a college scholarship as like an example of leadership or something.
Oh, that's nice. Cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, they were like, they didn't know what the fuck it was, so it didn't. But for a gaming job,
that sounds about right.
I would have that on there. I don't know, man, because I would need to have somebody. Because for me, I just want to list off like, I beat the back to Guitar Hero. I beat the boss at Guitar Hero 3 because like that was like
the devil.
That was like a huge grind. Yeah, it was like, and there's RNG involved with the power-ups and like,
you just got to send him like the whammy one when all those notes come in and he just dies instantly. Right.
And it just fucking kills him.
Destroys him.
I don't know, like, because if I'm taking the question seriously, I would definitely talk about like something specific for game design. Plus I would list the fact that I took acting classes for 10 years and I actually have a college degree in acting. So,
oh snap.
If you ever need somebody, as opposed to like the technical, if you ever need somebody for the front end, for voice work, character Ooh. Work, that would totally be me.
Oh, you do like voice acting.
I don't have any experience doing that at the moment, but it would actually be really fun.
I just figured like it sort of goes hand in hand with acting somewhat, maybe.
That's definitely a different perspective than we've had anybody go down. Or it's just like we've had 3D modeling and like being able to create within the space, but not like, oh, I want to be an actor or like I could be the front end or however you phrased it. I think the only person that said that was like SM Loader, maybe. I don't even think he said that.
Gotcha. Yeah, just to, because again, for me, the characters and the story make the game, depending on what game it is. So I would probably want to be involved with that.
Yeah, that goes perfectly hand in hand with your love of story and.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So that, and then, you know, I mean, technical stuff, like I understand, like, I feel like I can talk to a computer, like if I ever had to like look at code or like, I wouldn't be like totally lost in that part of it, but actually sitting down and being the one to put that together. So, you know, I could be involved on the front end and then also see back end stuff if I needed to.
Sure.
I don't know how you would put that on a resume, but.
exactly the way you phrase it. Front end, back end, we're okay.
Yeah, one, two, shaky, but, you know,
in the order. Ends,
yeah. And I beat the devil in Guitar Hero 3.
Oh, by the way, I beat the devil.
yeah, Just, that's a good question, man. Now I want to go, like,
hey,
actually make a resume, but.
Yeah, we asked a lot of people.
That'd be the start
of it.
Do
you think you have any, like, resume-worthy GoldenEye times, ILs, maybe?
Yeah. I could definitely, like, even to this day, I can go back and, like, I had times that were, like, a second off the world record on some levels, so, like, yeah. I could definitely point that out as, like, I've been on the side, you know, I've put in my time enough to, like, be pretty close to the world record guys and, like, understand the strats and how strats are developed generally, and I see something out of bounds, it's like, okay, and, you know, I'm kind of familiar with all that, you know. At this point,
he's
it's
out of
like,
bounds,
oh, yeah, he's,
cool,
out of,
right?
He's out of bounds, he's outside the map, yep. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
he'll
no
be back
deal,
in eventually,
whatever.
We'll see. Yeah, I could probably throw a couple. I mean, some strats are way different now, but yeah, I could talk about GoldenEye speedrunning for a while for sure.
Yeah. So to put it in a different, I don't know, put it in a different way, right? You know how you have your resume and you have your list of stuff. At the bottom of it, on a real resume, sometimes you put your special skills. Do you have a gaming special skill?
Oh man, probably.
I love how
I don't know
when people are caught off guard by this. It's so funny.
This is a tough question.
It is really tough.
Well, because immediately I think like really good at button mashing, but that's not even like
you hate zombie hunting.
yeah, so that obviously wouldn't be on mine. Special skills, because for special skills for real jobs, I just always put that I'm really fast at typing. So maybe I could sneak that in there, but I don't know.
Hey, that's good.
If that would really apply,
how fast
that'd be a start.
How fast can you type?
I can get up to 120, 130.
Ooh, that's
solid,
cool.
Solid.
Yeah.
So you're like in the upper echelon of type racers, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm probably like a 70.
Probably. Yeah, I'm probably 70, maybe 80 on a good day. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you could probably beat me.
I chalk it up to my mom making me do typing drills. Like when I was young,
wow.
I would like type the same word like 100 times in a row. Yeah. For like months, she had me do that.
Hey, you can't play this Majora's Mask. It seems too scary. Get to the typing room.
Okay. You got to type pudding 100 times where you play Majora's Mask.
We got to go through the drills today.
Just keep typing the word pudding. Come on. You got to keep typing
just
it.
Just pudding. Over
pudding. Yeah. Pudding. Pudding. All right.
Yeah, because oh my god, because she knew I was into games, so she would look for like computer stuff, and she's like, okay, if you're gonna be on the computer, then you're gonna get good at this. And I was like, all right,
I'll type
whatever you say,
dude. Your mom is woke.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was pretty cool thing actually. In retrospect,
not in the moment though. Well, in the moment, what did you think?
It was still more fun than other things that I did for school.
Oh, okay.
So. Like, it's not like writing something 100 times where your hand is getting exhausted and, you know, like on the chalkboard if,
oh yeah,
you misbehaved.
Did you feel like Bart Simpson on the chalkboard writing the same thing over?
Yeah, it never got to that point. Okay. I think typing is fun, but, what do other people say for special skills?
To be fair, I don't really know what. Do you remember any specific guests' special
skill?
I remember mine.
Because we get a lot of speedrunners on here, a common one we get is like perseverance or like dedication.
Yeah.
Because they're like willing to reset over and over again and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the most common one we get.
My special skill is that my base level in games is pretty good. It takes a while for me to get great, but like when I start playing a game, I'm pretty good right away. That's my special skill.
I would try to work in something about like completionist, like playing a whole game, understanding like a lot of lore. I don't know. Like when I play a game and I really like it, I tend to do everything that you possibly can. So I'd probably, so the skill could be like
absorption.
Yeah. Yeah. Starting from scratch. I can kind of see, or I can see the whole picture, or I don't know.
Hey,
something
you know,
like that.
That makes
it sound
sense
good.
With your like making guides on game facts. You got to be really in depth in that.
Yeah. That was, yeah. So you're going in and like, yeah, getting every detail, like this costs 5 coins and this costs that. And then I have a good memory too, so I can just kind of remember a lot of that.
Detail oriented.
Dude, you could have been our Assassin's Creed Brotherhood intern instead of Sure. Okay, so basically once I'm... So
yeah, explain this. Yeah,
this,
do
is,
it.
This is a lot to unpack here. So like many years ago, Stanley Williams and I were learning, well, quote unquote, learning, like making our own route for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood to like race it. We only raced it once, but anyway.
We put a month and a half into it.
We had my old roommate SM Loader be our ass intern and figure out like the price that things sell for at every shop. Like, because depending on which shop you go to, it sells for different amounts. So we're like, oh, yeah, we got to route in how many florins we have. So let's see which shop this shrunken head sells for the most at. And all that, he did like all this work and we didn't use any of it.
The Google Doc exists somewhere, probably.
Because you never really have to buy or sell anything in the speedrun. So.
Hey, 100%, maybe.
100%, yeah, totally.
I keep calling it, you call it florins, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I keep calling it Franks.
Yeah, it's not Franks.
Because it's just F. It's just F.
Yeah, I mean, before knowing it was florins, I was like, I got 100,000 Fs. That's pretty good.
Just in school. I was going to say detail-oriented, except for the wrong Yoshi color in the merry-go-round.
Exactly, man. No, nobody's perfect. You know what I mean? Like,
detail-oriented 99% of the time, but that Yoshi color, I don't know.
Yeah, I was probably thinking about not dying on the obstacle course, and then I'm like, oh my god, is this really pink Yoshi right now?
I understand.
Now?
You were thinking about like, oh man, I hope I win pin of 8. Get these balloons.
Dude, literally, yeah, back in the day, I was just like, if I beat the level, it's good. I don't care how slow it is.
Dude, pin of 8 is
I was
tough,
so
casually.
Bad at that.
Yeah, pin of 8 back in the day. Can you talk about, like, I guess before we wrap up, like, how... Like they've developed all the strats in Sunshine have developed to wherever they are now. There isn't like a level that isn't explored to some degree. Even like niche hundreds routes have been explored by me. So there is some like resource right. for pretty much everything. How difficult were some of the levels going through? Like back
like
in the
how
day? Like
yeah, I mean it's just and yeah, the whole process is I enjoyed it a lot, but it just came down to like how, like, so for example, Shadow Mario on Rico Harbor, I was like, okay, I want to nail the Shadow Mario. I want to get him at the top of the ramp because I'm pretty consistent. And so literally I'm going to reset if I miss all the other Shadow Marios. I was horrible. Like, yeah. I was like, okay, if I lose 20 seconds because he's being a dumbass, then I don't care. And so I'm just going to move on from that. Yeah. And so it just came down to, or like Rico 3, I wanted it to be really smooth, but then like Pina 8 or fucking Pianta 6 or, you know, just levels that were more, or like Gelato 8, like actually taking the watermelons there was like, my main thing was don't break the watermelon once you have it on the dock, like, like take your time pushing it across. And so if I was relatively fast up to that point, I didn't really care how slow as long as I like, so it just came down to like certain things like hitting the sandbird cycle.
Yeah.
Well, so I just kind of had individual standards for each thing. And then if I was enjoying something, I would grind it out a little more, but then like Noki 4, my eel fight is well, and that I didn't know about the stuff that is known.
Oh, for sure.
Now for like, for that kind of
eel,
stuff.
Eel but, is so dumb unless you like have resources to know what's going on.
Yeah. I practiced that a little bit. With the new strats, but that's hard, dude. There's a lot of little things you have to get right in that fight. But yeah, back in the day, man, yeah, it just came down to whatever I felt like practicing and all that.
I guess I had a question. So I believe you were the person to really develop the PD fight strategy that we just take for granted now, where you make him turn sideways and he always does the mouth thing. I believe that was you,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, well, I came up with it not having never seen it before. As far as I know, I was the first one to do it. Yeah,
yeah, you probably got it. The PD manipulation that we just take for granted now.
Yeah.
So, is there any other like level where you say you really went the extra mile for that time period in developing the strats for it?
Not so much, because that fight in particular is just like you're just standing there. And I was like, this is stupid. Like, so, and it's easy to like, you know, yeah, you're just standing there. So yeah. I'm like, And the, you know, the strat to go faster is pretty simple once you figure it out.
The PD fight, people forget that the PD fight, if you don't do that manip, he just stands there doing nothing.
And then he randomly turns.
Yeah. So I'm glad that exists.
So that stood out for me in that regard.
What level did you like grind the most and get the best at, like relative to how much skill the level takes?
Probably Rico. Serena Beach. I don't know if that's how you say that level.
Serena.
That's always how I said it.
I think Bouncy Boy Serena, says whatever. Sirena, but I hate saying that.
And again, if you go back and watch it now, they all suck. But I grinded out the Manta fight. I was pretty good at least at the time. And Noki, sort of. I really didn't like Noki as a level, even though it's got some fun platforming. But probably the early game mostly, like Bianco, Rico, and then,
there you go.
Probably those mostly, I guess. It's I'm thinking back now, like I practiced the fucking pachinko level as much as anything else, like the dirty water level.
Yeah,
the those classics. Were like
I can't imagine trying pachinko way back in the day, like without any semblance of any strats.
That was actually one of the things that motivated me to play 120 was that when I started, Samurai Man's 120 record had 3 pachinko deaths in it.
Ooh.
And I was like, dude, if I just do this and don't die, I'm sick. it sounds bad, but it's true. I was like, dude, I could just like, what if I just like didn't die? I'd be so fast. And sure enough, I do a run earlier today, I still die. So yeah,
you still die.
That was the main thing Duden pointed out in his run was that he didn't die.
He didn't die. Was like, hey, he didn't die a single time, I hear.
That time.
Yeah.
That time.
He didn't die a single time time.
In Trey's 120 video, I'm the guy that voices Dudan.
Oh.
Yeah.
You sounded familiar.
That's the joke from earlier.
Track him down for an interview.
Yeah.
you know what's funny? Speaking of Dudan, I was thinking like before this season 2 of the podcast even started, I was between, do we try to get Dudan or Theoradel on here? And I knew you were a lot more available. I don't even know if I can reach Dudan anymore. I reached out to Dudan. I found him on like some StarCraft forum or something. because I was reaching out to like find him to ask if he had any of his like really old blue coin routes or something to share, like still somewhere. And he actually responded and said, no, I don't have any more, but like good luck with the video. And he actually commented on my 120 history video as well. Like I noticed a few months later. But I could maybe get him, but like, yeah, I don't know. You were easier. You were a lot more available. So
It's interesting. So it is interesting, Theradel, that you were talking about like how you were trying to come back in 2019. I know Yakko Mori is like, I've seen him streaming a couple times.
Oh, Yakko Mori. That's so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's even before me, he was the only Canadian runner on the board when I started playing. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I don't know how that's going for him right now. I've seen him live a couple times, but it's been really nice having you on and just going through some of the deeper history of Sunshine, even though we had never really had any interaction before. This was very nice.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I appreciate you guys asking me to be on the show. It brought back a lot of old memories when I was thinking about, way back when. And I kind of want to come back again now because I feel like I was close. Like I really learned like most of the strats and all that stuff. Hey, but yeah, it's been a total pleasure being on here.
If you want to learn true all hundos, I'm willing to help you out.
That is a hell of a
true all hundos?
Yeah, true all hundos.
Is that like multiple games?
No, it's Super Mario Sunshine, but you do 65 different hundreds routes. Every conceivable hundo that you can do.
You know how every every level
like
has its own
coins?
100 coin shine spawn?
Yeah.
And like sometimes it can spawn in the secret as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Sid.
That's like, cool.
You would get the 100 coin shine in Bianco 3 and Bianco 3 secret and 4 and 5 and 6 secret, like everything.
Yeah.
So you do all the hundred routes. Hundro.
Because it spawns different every time?
Well, no.
Some of the spawns are the same, but it's like a different level. So.
Yeah. So you have to do like Serena 3 in the hotel.
Coins from different places and stuff. Yeah.
It's different routes. Okay. It's interesting.
Man, hey, that's, yeah.
It's a lot of work, but hey, if you're interested.
No, that's a little ambitious.
That might be.
No.
Well, that, I mean, yeah, I don't have as much free time as I did back in the day, but that that could be up my alley.
Okay.
If you like hondos, then maybe.
All right. Well, Trey, you can wrap us up, I think.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Theodel. It's been a blast from the past, of course.
Absolutely, man. Yeah.
We are on. Actually, I guess got to give this update. So last episode, I apologize. Our Spotify and Google Podcast stuff was broken. I think our hoster of the RSS feed, Rat, he changed his website around pretty drastically. And kind of like messed up how that thing works. I think we're getting it fixed now. It should be fixed by the time this goes up. But yeah, apologies for that, but we should be good now. So we're on Spotify and Google Podcast and the YouTube channel Sid and Trey. It's been episode 34 of Video Games Are Hard, and have a good night or day.
Good luck at Glitch.
Thank you. Hopefully the plane works.
Hopefully the plane works. See you next week.
Bye.